Nuclear Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome. This is Nicola Beer and I'm excited to be talking to you about a really important topic, and that's compulsive lying. So I'm actually going to create three separate episodes. One which is going to focus on what is compulsive lying and what are the characteristics, because in order for us to understand about compulsive lying, if you're living with a compulsive liar, if you are a compulsive liar, then in both situations my heart goes out to you. And so this is really about looking at what causes it and what it actually is in this first episode I'm going to be covering with you today. In the second episode, we're going to be looking at why do men and women compulsively lie? What is the reason? What are the motivators? And I'm going to give some case studies there so you can really get to understand why people do it, because the first question is just trying to understand why a compulsive liar would make up such a sometimes ridiculous, seemingly stupid or seemingly strange lie. So we're going to cover that. And that's in part two. And then the third part is what can you do when your husband or wife or someone close to you compulsively lies? What can you do to help them and what can you do to help yourself? So this is what we're going to be covering in the three-part series. I'm so glad you're here. If you would want to make sure that you don't miss any of these episodes, and if you want to make sure that you don't miss any of the episodes that are coming up, because we have a lot coming up, we have podcasts on depression, on cross-cultural differences, on codependency. You don't want to miss them. I really don't want you to miss them. I'm honored for you to be here with me. So please make sure that you subscribe to the show. And while you're subscribing, if you are in a generous spirit today, then please give a rating or review, because what that does is that helps this show to stay more visible. The more people that are giving a rating or review, ideally on iTunes or Stitcher, then the more the show is going to grow, the more people we can help, and then the more I can produce. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So moving on, what is compulsive lying and what are the characteristics? Well, compulsive lying and pathological lying are also known as, and forgive me while I try and pronounce this, pseudologica phantasia and mythomania. It was first described in medical literature back in the 1890s. In simple terms, a compulsive liar is a person who falsifies information. Lies can be extensive or relatively small. The lies can happen over a period of months, years, or even a lifetime in some cases. It is termed a condition because, unlike the average person that may tell the odd lie here or there, or twist and exaggerate the truth for a specific and valid reason, a compulsive liar lies more out of habit than for a reason, and very frequently. So what is the difference between compulsive lying and pathological lying? Compulsive lying and pathological lying are often used interchangeably. There is no set distinction in medical journals about the difference between the two. However, professionals in the mental health area, psychiatrists, psychologists, psychotherapists, counsellors, etc., identify compulsive liars as those who have the habit of lying uncontrollably on any topic. Men and women who lie compulsively are far more comfortable lying than telling the truth, they would argue. Unlike lying about something specific, such as failing an exam, where there is a stressor, a pressure to lie. Compulsive liars will lie about anything, even unimportant matters, and often without any stressors, such as what they ate, what time they did something, who they saw. A number of psychologists and psychotherapists contest that there is a difference between the two, stating that A compulsive liar lies about anything without thinking, where they do it automatically as they feel more comfortable lying. Whereas a pathological liar lies to gain something from lying. They have a purpose and clear intention. Pathological liars are often deemed to be more manipulative than a person who lies without thinking. In both categories, experts warn that the person can become so ingrained in their false stories that they actually begin to believe them. For the purpose of this podcast, when I refer to compulsive liar, I mean both. As in my experience, a compulsive liar can be a pathological liar, and a pathological liar can be a compulsive liar. They tend to intertwine, and there are far more similarities than differences. So let's look at the characteristics of a compulsive liar. In my practice, having worked with countless spouses of compulsive liars, and with a few compulsive liars who are ready, willing, and wanting to change, there are a few striking differences between a compulsive liar and someone who lies on the odd occasion, which is probably most of us lie on the odd occasion. Little white lies here and there. So here are some of the characteristics of compulsive lying that can be prevalent. 1. Comfort in lying. A compulsive liar finds comfort in lying. They find it easy and effortless to lie compared to the non-liar who feels guilt, shame, or internally uneasy at doing so. 2. Will hold up their lies no matter what. A compulsive liar often will continue to hold up a lie despite concrete evidence and fact that they are wrong. 3. They don't consider the impact of their lying. A compulsive liar will often lie without thinking about the consequences of being caught. They may lie about something they know you can easily find out about, and lie regardless, such as what something costs when you're sharing a credit card bill. 4. Lies are believable and may have some truth elements. For example, Paul and Debbie's relationship was on the rocks because Debbie told Paul she went to the doctors and found out she was pregnant, when she was not. However, she did go to the doctors and may have thought that she was pregnant before going, but she lied about it. Another couple, Ifran and Nada, were struggling to let go of Ifran's lies. The last one they argued over was a company event. Ifran was given tickets to the Formula One with work and proceeded to tell his wife and friends that he met several celebrities and VIPs were there, and that he was given backstage passes and VIP treatment. And it was not until his wife met another one of his work colleagues in the supermarket did the truth come out, where apparently they'd only been given soft drinks, bar nuts. There was no elaborate meals, there were no celebrities, there was no VIP treatment, and they were so far away from the concert that they couldn't see anything. The truth part was that he did go to the concert. The fact that there were elements of truth in what compulsive liars say can make it harder to detect and decipher what is real and what is not real. Ifran, in this situation, said to his wife Nada that she had it wrong, that his colleague was lying, that his colleague was downplaying it, and he didn't know why he was doing that. When Nada said, well, why would he do that? Which is probably the most common reaction to trying to understand why would someone lie. But with compulsive liars, often the why is a lot deeper than the surface level, which we'll come on into in part 2. 5. They can lie continuously without good reason. Compulsive lying continues for a considerable length of time, rather than an immediate stress or pressure. When we look at marital affairs and the lying associated around that, we would not term that as compulsive lying, as the lie results around the pressure of being caught and the strong desire to keep the secret hidden. It's not lying without reason or stress. Compulsive lying is where someone keeps up a lie over time because they want to and find comfort, peace, or enjoyment in doing so. 6. Compulsive liars often lie to present themselves in a favourable light. There are so many ways this can manifest. For example, take Stephanie and Ben, a married couple from America I worked with. Stephanie compulsively lied around money and had done so since she was a teenager. When she met Ben, she painted a picture of a very rich upbringing and spoiled childhood. She did the same in the office when speaking to co-workers. She lied about her hometown location, the size of her house growing up, and her father's career and work positions. There was no stress or pressure from others to do so. At work, Stephanie was working in a multicultural, multi-level team, where no one cared less about each other's childhood or wealth. Stephanie liked to paint an elaborate picture of where she came from and what luxuries she enjoyed. When it was time for Ben to meet her parents, she started to change her childhood story. She explained to Ben how when she was 13, her family had lost all their wealth as they had to give it away to a distressed auntie and uncle. Ben was then given strict instructions not to mention her father's previous cars, homes, positions, or other assets. Ben thought this was strange, naturally. He had literally been given a list of banned topics and wondered what on earth he could talk about and wondered what is all the fuss about. He started to think that her father must have some kind of complex or problem if there were so many things off limits. When he met and grew to know Stephanie's father, the truth came pouring out. There was no truth in her stories. Her father was a humble, hard-working carpenter who raised Stephanie in a small village in the UK. He said to her things didn't add up and that he was puzzled, and she just ignored it. During a family get-together, Stephanie was forced to address some of these lies. "I must have remembered it wrong," she said, almost humorously, and then promptly followed it with, "Nobody wants to talk about the past. Let's raise a glass to the future." This was her attempt to change the subject. After that, she banned Ben and banned them in the relationship to talk further of her childhood and her father. The topic became off limits in the marriage. For Stephanie, it was case closed. But for Ben, the seeds of doubt had been planted, and questions raised on how trustworthy his wife was and is. And unfortunately, when the seed of doubt gets planted in a relationship, it's only going to grow if it's not addressed. So many couples fall into the trap of not talking about different topics, hoping that things will just resolve themselves. And that is a sure way to damage the relationship. I wrote another article and a podcast I created on how avoiding conflict creates more conflict. And that's really the key here. Things that you ignore in your relationship just get louder and louder and louder and bigger and bigger and bigger over the years if they're not addressed. So it's really important to analyze and be in touch with yourself. Are there things in your relationship that aren't being addressed, like compulsive lying? Is there lies? Is there something else? Is there something that doesn't make sense? Is there something that upsets you? Now is the time, not years later or months later, to look at addressing it and do it in a non-confrontational way, in a non-defensive way, in a just an opening way. What's really nice about the work that I do is I get to work with couples online to review where they are in their relationship, what needs to change in order for them to feel happier and move forward. We don't spend much time, if any time, going over the past. We focus purely on where they are individually, what do they feel individually about the relationship, and then we have a joint session where we can focus on a plan to move them forward. I always work with a couple first individually. And when I help one person to win back their wife or win back their husband, we work on how to create lasting change. We review what hasn't worked great in the past. We review their husband's or wife's complaints, and then we look at actions to address that. Because to make the relationship strong and solid, we really want to make sure that you're moving in the right direction, that you are getting into actions that are going to change things permanently. And the only way to do that is to do a review. But doing a review together, sharing everything that's negative, please don't do that, because I have so many couples that come to me after marriage counselling has failed them. And I love counselling. I think counselling on an individual level is amazing. When you go back to the past, when you release things, when you look at your childhood, you know, all of that, I think it's really healing and really amazing. For couples to go back and go over what's wrong, often it can make things a lot worse. And especially if you're at home talking it through as well, you know, often that can set you back. So if you'd like to get any more support on that, then do check out my Marriage Secret Masterclass. I'll put the link with this episode. And if you're really stuck and you would like some support, then reach out to me. I do offer a 30-minute consultation on how to transform your relationship, where we look at things that are holding you back, things that are preventing your connection, or if your husband or wife has left you right now, or has told you that they don't love you anymore, or is threatening in divorce, don't wait. You know, you're in a really critical time period here. The actions that you take now, the words that you say, are going to be really, really important. So reach out to me and we can book a call, and I would love to support you. So anyway, that is part one of compulsive lying. Stay tuned for part two, where we're going to be looking at why people compulsively lie. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful day and week ahead.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.